Shogger, do you watch Major League Baseball playoffs? Did you happen to catch any of the Game Sevens this weekend?
I didn't. I'm kind of on a little holiday time after a long run with hockey. So I was on Vancouver Island, doing a little putzing around out there. Just sort of followed a little bit along on Twitter, but it sounds like it was kind of in some ways, just this sporting week like no other, like just so much going on and lots of excitement happening.
Oh, I'll tell you, both of those game sevens, really, game five, six, seven in both series were unbelievable leading up to it. It was quite exciting. And, mm-hmm. and Stretti, of course, is happy because his Giants finally won a game. But, the Edmonton Oilers, we just had Kevin Woodley on the show, and, he's talking about concerns about, lack of playing time, and no team's really in a different boat. Now, the Oilers have a lot of young players playing overseas, as do other organizations. The Oilers, I think, have the most, last I checked. But how concerned are you, do you think it is, for, Edmonton's, because of Koskinen and Smith, they're both in their 30s, that, outside of, what was that, 3 weeks, they'll have gone 10 months without playing hockey. Maybe longer when the next season begins.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not ideal. And each team, each organization has to try and deal with that the best they can. Now, the thing is the players don't just have to go where they're told to go, right? Like the NHL teams own their rights, but it's not like they just have to go wherever they're told, right? So the players got to be on board. And the agents, and then, of course, the teams that you're sending them to overseas. So it's not an easy fix, and I think the Oilers have done a good job overall. But for goaltenders, I mean, I'm not as concerned. Mike Smith's got a pretty good number of miles on him. Should know how to put in a good, good few months training when they need to be ready again. Koskinen, I don't know, like – neither of them looked fantastic when they came back from the last layoff, so that wasn't ideal. But, I think that a lot of people are in the same boat. So it's not ideal, but you rely on them to be professionals and to show up ready to go.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, hey, from a guy who loves offense, hey, I hope all the goaltenders struggle and suck early and we'll have tons of goals. So that'll be fantastic. I'm not necessarily certain it will happen or not. What do you think the likelihood Philip Broberg makes the Oilers this coming season?
That's a really interesting question. I think before Klefbom happened, it was like zero. I don't think that it was part of the plan really at all. Just the thought process was to just have him play another year overseas and to, see where he was at once that was completed. Oscar Klefbom falling off the radar definitely changes things. If you think about when the NHL might get started, Philip Broberg has the opportunity to absolutely light the World Juniors on fire. So he might literally be in Edmonton.
Do you honestly think that I don't know if his team lets him go. Why would they? Right? Like, you're playing top pair minutes against men. What would be the benefit to fly across the world to play seven games against teenagers?
Well, was he not going to get the opportunity to be at Oiler camp at all anyway?
Oh, no, but Oiler camp's different. Right, I think if he comes to Oiler camp, it's because they think he's going to come here and make the team. But if you're
wouldn't the timing of it be the same? So, I mean,
well, Oiler you're saying come here for the world, so you're saying come here for the World Juniors and then just stay for camp? Oh, okay.
Well, potentially.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
My point is, if he plays at the World Juniors this year, mm-hmm. Who knows what he does and how good he looks. And if the Oilers are just ready to, to send him back, I don't know. Who knows? Let's see if he's going to play. If he does, I think he's got an opportunity to, for it to be a real showcase. And then he's already here and he's ready to go. And the Oilers just happen to be down a left shot Swedish defenseman. So who knows? But to answer your question, I think a better shot with what's happened with Klefbom, I think it's still the plan is probably to have him not be with the group this year. One more year of development before he slides in. Like, you can only bring so many young defensemen along at a time, and the Oilers already are bringing along two in Ethan Bear and Caleb Jones, let alone Evan Bouchard sniffing around being here. Like, you can't have four defensemen under the age of like 23, 24, all sort of in their first couple of years together, I don't think.
Yeah, no, it's possible, but what if he's that good? Right? Yeah. Like, I text with the Swedish scout yesterday, and a guy who is very reserved about players, and he was raving about Broberg. Right? Yep. To be 19 and playing as many minutes as he is in that league is very rare. And yep. Usually the guys who do it, they end up to be really good down the road.
And he's putting up some points too, right? So, yep. I mean, look, he's tall. He's a fantastic skater. He's mobile. Playing in that league last year, 8 points in 45 games, you would just be getting your feet underneath you, just be getting confident playing within that peer group. And then this year he rolls back there with 45 games of experience, and now sounds like he's taking it to another level. So I just love the fact that they've drafted a defenseman with fantastic feet who is going to be able to skate at the NHL level immediately, already, right now, Ken. Because if you can skate, you buy yourself time for the decision-making to be better, for your hands to be more relaxed. If you can't get there, everything else is more difficult to get up to NHL speed because you just don't buy yourself the time. And so I think his transition to the National Hockey League, I think, could be much more seamless than potentially a player like Bouchard, who's going to fight it speed-wise at first. So I love the fact that he's got great feet, and I think it'll make his transition a lot easier.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. I'm intrigued by it as you see where the Oilers growth has to come from and has to come internally. And I don't know why. I have a sneaking suspicion that when the season gets closer, Ken Holland might make a trade involving somebody on his blue line. It's just a hunch I have. Because I think that Philip Broberg is the way he's playing now. You look at it; it's essentially a very unique situation because next year, realistically, might not start till February, right? He'll have played then almost two full years after his draft playing, in pro hockey, and that's history tells you with young defensemen, those who are going to be great are usually great or show signs of it very early.
Yeah, I think so. So what would a trade like that look like? Chris Russell, maybe? Would that be the guy that you move out? $1 million in salary for somebody that's got cap space? I don't know if teams will be willing to take on that much cap space. But if you move Chris Russell, now on the left side, you go Darnell Nurse, Caleb Jones, Philip Broberg, with Klefbom, likely not back at all during the season. You're young over there. And then over on the other side, it's not, you got Larson, you got Bear, who's young. And I think you have to ask yourself, what's a reasonable expectation for Ethan Bear next year? If I were the Oilers, I would have my fingers crossed that he gives you the exact same thing he gave you last year. I don't know that I would be looking for some other big giant step from Ethan Bear next season.
I agree.
I think you're lucky if you get the same thing.
Yeah,
I agree.
It wouldn't
surprise me if maybe there was a touch of regression. So, really, are you better? Like, we can all agree their blue line needs to be at least as good, if not better, right? Well, you just lost Oscar Klefbom. So, how do you possibly come back better? Especially if all you're doing is adding younger players. So,
well, you added Tyson Barry.
Yeah, for sure. But that's Klefbom, right? So that's
a different style.
So you've lost Klefbom. It's a different style. So you've got Tyson Barry over there, which makes up in a lot of ways for the loss of Klefbom, but not necessarily, he's not going to do the work on the penalty kill the same, and he's not going to, they're different players for sure. So you need to come back close to the same, if not a little bit better. And, if they think that Broberg is ready to step in and make an impact, for sure. I think they'll give him the opportunity to do it. But
I think him and Caleb Jones are the two defensemen I think there's going to be big improvements from this year for the Edmonton Oilers. Like, obviously, Broberg just being in the league would be a big improvement because he wasn't here. But I've always been bullish on Caleb Jones. I actually, in junior, I felt Caleb Jones was a better junior defenseman top to bottom than Ethan Bear. And, you know, they're the same age. I think there's a chance that Jones could be just as good as Ethan Bear moving forward. He skates better. And the thing that Jones does that Bear didn't do, it's his first year. Jones and Tyson Barrie will do it the best on the Oilers next year. And Edmonton, we haven't really, like, when I watch the other teams, the one thing I never really saw from Edmonton's defense, they rarely had the one guy jumping up and being the fourth man in the rush. Barrie does that a ton. And I think Caleb Jones is the best one on the team who can do it the second most. And I think that's what we'll see next year.
I think that there's a higher offensive upside for Ethan Bear than there is for Caleb Jones. I think Ethan Bear took a defense-first approach to becoming a regular NHLer last year. I think he built reliability into his game so that his coach could use him. I think he was partnered with a veteran guy that liked to take the puck and go. So I think he was a little bit more reserved in terms of when to go, how often he decided to, and how big a part of his game. To me, he played a responsible game that allowed him to stay usable for much of the year. If he was jumping up too much, it would cause problems with the guy on his left. And I don't mean personally between the two of them. I just mean in the style of play. I think Ethan Bear has in him what you're talking about, and I think he's got more offensive upside. I think he walks the offensive blue line better. I think he's the best the Oilers have in terms of a defenseman that can drift a wrist shot and get it through traffic and on net. I think he's great at that. I think there's some untapped offensive potential there. I think he's a legit second-pairing power play defenseman. He just hasn't really been put in that position to foster that part of his game yet, which I'm okay with, because right now he's rounding out the parts of his game that are going to keep him usable for a long time. And then it's about, I wonder if there's another level there offensively. And I think there is with Ethan Bear, more so than Caleb Jones.
All right. We'll agree to disagree on that. We'll see it. I think Caleb Jones has better all-around game.
I think he's a great player, too. Like, I think Caleb Jones is coming and showing he has the potential to do what Ethan Bear did last year, which was to, you know, get dropped into a situation where he needs to step in and play above his head and do it. I think he's got potential to do that. So, trust me, it's nothing against Caleb Jones. I just, in their styles of play, I see some more offensive pizzazz with Bear that's untapped more so than Jones at this point.
Sugar, well, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, Joe, hey, when Klefbom went down for those 9 games, Jones stepped in, played 20 minutes a night. Was quite good.
Yeah,
enjoy the rest of your trip. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, pal.